Blog Talk Radio.
Broadcasting from Atlanta, Georgia, this is The Bright Side with Technisha.
A daily broadcast on real-life issues that will keep you motivated.
And now, here's your host, Technisha.
Good afternoon, everyone. Today is March the 3rd, 2014, and you're here with me again on another episode of The Bright Side with Technisha. And I'm back again with our girl, Christy Monson, and she is going to be discussing about her book, Becoming Free, which is a step-by-step book to help you to shed your armor, expand your optimistic thinking, and enhance your ability to give and receive. And once you become free of the armor you've built around you to protect yourself, you'll find the abundant life you have always sought. And if for more information, you can always visit her website, which is www.christymonson.com. That's www.christymonson.com. Christy, I'm so glad you're back again with us.
Thanks, Technisha. It's wonderful to be with you. I had such a good time the other day. I was so looking forward to being with you again.
Me too. And I really enjoyed I really did enjoy this book, Becoming Free, A Woman's Guide to Internal Strength. But, Christy, was this book intended just for women or for both sexes?
Well, since you asked that question, that is such an excellent question. It was intended for both sexes. And then when you turn your book over to the publisher, then it kind of goes out of your hands. And
okay.
So the marketing people decided that it would be better if it was just for women. Because I originally set it out, all of the examples in it had to do with men and women. And so then they said to me, well, you need to make this just for women. So I'm going to let you go through and decide which of the stories, because there's hundreds of stories in it, which of the ones you think were originally for men. Because some of them, I just had to change some of them. The marketing people wanted me to, so I did.
Oh, okay. Wow. Now, Christy, what was the main inspiration behind the title and the book?
Well, you know, I worked as a marriage and family therapist in Vegas for quite a few years, and I saw lots and lots of people. I loved my practice there. It was wonderful. I just really enjoyed myself. And it was interesting because, you know, you have so many people come through and a lot of them heal and some of them don't. And so then I just had to evaluate for myself, you know, what is the key that is helping these people to heal? And as I learned more techniques and went to conferences and practiced and watched people grow and develop, I found several things. First of all, people walk beyond whatever dysfunction or abuse they came from, and it can be terrible sometimes, but they were able to walk beyond it if they were motivated to change. So those people that are really motivated to change, it makes a difference. And then I found that if people can address those childhood issues that they have, I mean, sometimes it's nothing more than a little kid using his brain the very best he can to figure out what in heaven's name is going on. And so sometimes it isn't even abuse, it's just mistaken beliefs that our little kid brains figure out, and then we keep working at life that way, and it doesn't work. So it was just a lot of those things together. And then the last section of the book's divided into four sections. First there's mm-hmm. goal setting, and then there's, mistaken beliefs that we have in our own lives. And then the next section is communication. And that last section is all the techniques that I found that really did work with people. So it's a good reference. You know, if you want your own individual therapist and your armchair therapist, why that last section is really good because it's all the techniques that I found that really work. So it was a combination of people really being motivated and being willing to look at mistaken childhood beliefs and then using the techniques to walk beyond it.
Yeah. Now, you start off with work prescriptions for the first chapter. Can you explain about this chapter, Christy, for the listeners?
Yeah. I start out with goal setting because I feel because we never are going to change unless we set some goals. I was doing a merit badge clinic the other day. I'm for Boy Scouts of America. I'm a merit badge counselor for citizenship in the community. So I go around my boys that I got there, and some of them will look at me and say, "Well, I'm trying." When I'm asking them, what are they going to do by the time I see them next time? Well, I'm trying, which means they're not really doing anything. They're just kind of giving me an answer, so it'll be okay. So people really have to be motivated to set goals. And so then I talk about long-term goals, and then I talk about short-term goals. And, you know, we can set long-term goals. If in 5 years I'm going to be doing whatever, or I'm going to be traveling the world, or I have a successful business, or whatever. And if we don't have short-term goals that match those long-term goals, then we never get there. So we have to set the long-term goals, and then we have to set our short-term goals. And then I think then the next little bit, I talk about the things that inhibit us. And there are many things that inhibit us, and sometimes they are mistaken childhood beliefs, like somebody's, I've got to do everything perfect, and if I don't do everything perfect, then I'm no good, and others are that I get so caught up in the details of things that I forget to look at the big picture, or, you know, just many things. I think we all have to look at our lives, and if we're not accomplishing the goals we want, then we have to look at whatever our mistaken beliefs are. So that's essentially what that first section is talking about.
Now, Chris, in setting goals, is it best to start with the long-term or the short-term goals?
Well, I don't know. I think everybody's kind of different. I'd like to start with the long-term goals, and then I've got a roadmap as to where I'm going to go, and then I set my short-term goals so that I've got my monthly goals, my weekly goals, And then I have to say to myself, this is my big thing. I'm going to fall off the wagon. I know it. I'm going to get off my goals. I do. I love setting my goals, and I love accomplishing goals. But, you know, in the summertime when all the kids come home and we go on vacation, or at Christmas time when everything's going, you know, I have to just kind of know that I'm going to get off track. So then I just start every month. I try to get myself back on track if I've had some big thing that's gotten me off track a little, and I just try to get myself back on. So either way works. If you set short-term goals first, things you love to do, then expand those into long-term goals. So I think either way would work.
Yeah. And as most people always say, they have to be realistic, and they should be timely. Specific.
Perfect. Yep.
Now, for me, I like your way, Christy, and doing it the long-term goals is best.
Yeah, I think that. Go ahead.
Go ahead, Chris. I'm sorry.
Oh no, you go ahead. I agree with you. I was just going to say that I do agree with you. I like to have that goal out there a ways. It helps me to keep going.
Yeah. Well, because when I think of short-term goals, I think of, like, resolutions for New Year's, when people say, oh, I'm going to work out when New Year's start. And it's like, okay, that's like an excuse to think far ahead. Why not start working out now instead of waiting for the New Year? Because what difference is it going to make because it's a whole new year? Just start working on now before 2015 get here. You know, so I think I'm like, excuses to me.
That's awesome. That's totally awesome. That sounds just like my little Boy Scouts that are sitting there telling me they're going to try tomorrow. No, I love that. I think that's awesome. I think that is absolutely a perfect, and that's something – in all sincerity, I mean, we can chuckle about it, but in all sincerity, that's what a lot of people do is they'll say, well, now I'm just going to start till tomorrow. So I have a friend, and she says to me, you know, I'm just going to have this. I want to lose weight, and I'm going to go on a diet, but today I'm just going to have that donut, and I'm going to have a cream puff because tomorrow I'm going to get on my diet. Well, that's, like you say, that's just an excuse. The other thing I like that you brought up about setting New Year's resolutions, because I think that's good. If we want to set New Year's resolutions, I admire people that go ahead and do that. But, you know, there's so many different times of the year that you don't have to always just set them on New Year's. People do that, but we don't always have to set them then. I have a good friend that owns a bakery, and she sets her goals in the fall time, because you go from Halloween to Thanksgiving to Christmas to New Year's to Valentine's to Easter. So it works for her to start in the fall time, because that's when her big push at the bakery is. But, you know, somebody else might want to start at another time. It, you know, it just depends on what your business is or what you like to do or what your plans are. So New Year's resolutions are great, but you can think outside the box and set them any time of the year that you want to.
Yeah. And also, I think sometimes setting goals can backfire if, I don't know if you think this is true, Krista, if you probably focus too much attention on them or on the wrong thing.
Oh, I think that's true. And sometimes we can set them way too high. You know, I have a friend that's a perfectionist, and she's got the moon up there for her goals, and it's too high. You just aren't going to get there. So that's why I just like to baby step along, and I like to know I'm going to fall off the track, and it's okay for me to get back on if I fall off. If I have that cream puff, it's really okay. I can just start over again tomorrow, and it's good. It's all good.
Well, you know, your first chapter by talking about prescription, it reminded me of the article that this guy wrote for Boston.com, and he states that too, that, let me see if I can end up finding it. He says that goal setting has been treated like an over-the-counter medication when it should really be treated with more care as a prescription strength medication, he says. And that reminded me of your first chapter. You start with word prescription in the first chapter. So I said that coincides right along with what she just was talking about.
Yeah, that's good. The other thing I think we have to keep in mind is sometimes people say, well, I'm just going to hurry up and do this and get done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But really, it's a lifestyle change. We want to change our lifestyle. If my goal is to find peace inside myself, I'm going to work at that every day of my life, because I work on that. I try to find peace, and I do my meditation in the morning, and I read my scriptures because I'm a Christian, and so then I go forth and do my things. But I can get myself in a turmoil by afternoon time, and then I have to step back and do my things again to find peace in my life. So it's not something that we just all of a sudden hurry up and fix. It's a lifestyle change. At least for me, it is.
It is, and I was thinking about the perfectionist you just mentioned. She wants to be perfect, but I don't, in all rationality, no one can actually do their actual best. You can come close to it, but you can't actually be the best. It's too, what's the word? Too vague. It's not good.
Yeah. That's perfect, and I love that you just said that. That is so important, because it's too vague. I think we have to come down to say specific behaviors we're going to change, specific things we're going to change, because you're right. If we make our goals too vague, then they're just kind of a pie in the sky out there. We have to set realistic goals, and we have to set behavior changes, specific behavior changes we're going to work on, so that we really can measure what we're doing.
Mm-hmm. I do agree with that too. Very, very important. Now, also, Krista, you mentioned in your book that you should be flexible when it comes to setting your goals. How important is it to be flexible?
Oh, you know, there's so many ways to be flexible. Like I already said, I think sometimes we just, at holiday times, we just get off course, and then we have to get ourselves back on. And the thing that I think, if we say nothing else today, that your listeners take away and that the readers of the book take away, it's that we have to have compassion for ourselves and be kind to ourselves. Because sometimes people just beat themselves up if they get off track or aren't doing exactly what they want. And so we do have to be flexible and have compassion for ourselves. The other thing that I think is our goals change as the years go by. You're raising your girls right now, and so you're right in the middle of that. But then those girls, it's a blink of an eye, and they're grown up. That time goes by so fast, and they're going to be grown, and then your goals are going to change and be a little bit different. And that's wonderful, but we have to be flexible enough to be able to change our goals a little bit, not only to get back on the track and follow them, but we have to be flexible to change because life will change. Life is changing.
Yeah, because every day changes. I mean, God forbid, a traumatic incident happens, and then your plans have to deter. So I agree with that. You want to keep it open, just the same way a basketball player. He might want to hit the pros, but knee goes out. So what is the next step? Are you going to go off to school, or what are your next goals? So I do agree with that, to keep it open, keep it flexible.
You know, and that's another excellent point, that we have to let's have several goals, and I think it's important for us to do that. Because one thing may not work out for us, and so then we have to go another direction. So I like that. I have this friend. She's hilarious. She's a writer, and she's published quite a bit, and she loves to go to the newspaper offices and get her article in the paper and whatever, which times are changing for that. But anyway, she's so cute. So she has this saying. She has this saying, no only means next. So I like that. So if you get a no in one place, then you're going to go on to the next thing. Whatever that next thing is, we got to go on to the next. So no only means next. So yes. I remember that.
Well, I definitely need to write that down, because it's the same way. My goal is to be a news reporter, but then I have to keep it open. Okay, what other things fall upon that umbrella that I could possibly do? So that's why my reason was to start the radio show instead of waiting, because I don't want time to fly pass me by, so I need to do something to keep going.
Well, and I think that is such an excellent idea, because when you go on to do an internship as a news reporter, look at all this experience that you will have already had. And your name will be out there, and you'll be known, and so you'll be on your way to, and maybe even be able to use some of these hours in your internship, whatever, you know, in journalism. So good job for you.
Oh, thank you, Christy. I try every day. I don't try to set a certain standard. I just do. I'm kind of like that program, P90X, that workout program. Do your best and keep the rest. And that's what he always says. He says that every time, and I'll be like, that's fine, Tony, I sure am. I'm going to do my best to do these push-ups, and I am forgetting the rest.
Yes. Do you know one of the things that I love about talking with you is that you're fun. I mean, you've got an upbeat personality, and you just can laugh about things, and so that's half the battle for all of us. We can't be too serious.
No, you can't, because life is too short. You should live on laughter and always want to be joyous. Sometimes it don't happen. Yeah, we all get bad incidents, but we can't live off that, them type of emotions. We got to keep moving forward. So I try to keep hoping. I do. I try.
Yeah.
And I work as a waitress, so, you know, I definitely try, Christy, because you get somebody always try to push that button. You like, oh, please. I'm not going to go there with you. I'm going to keep this attitude.
Oh, you know, that is so important. And that's one of the other things that I talk about as we go along in the book, is that we can't allow other people to jerk us around like that. We have to be able to feel strong enough inside of ourselves that we're going to choose our feelings. We're not going to let somebody else choose them. So good job on that one.
Thank you. And I do find that you wrote throughout the book, you mostly focus on journaling, and which is a good concept, and I think that's a good thing for people to do, is to write down your goals and always keep them specific and challenging, and make sure they're believable and at a certain deadline that you want them to be. So I think journaling is very good.
Yeah, I love journaling for really quite a few reasons. It's wonderful for goal setting, and it's also a good way if you've got some of these mistaken beliefs in your life, like the stories I talk about in the book where you feel like you've got to be a perfectionist or those kind of things. You need to go back and find the time in your early life when you have that, when that mistaken belief began, and then as you journal it, it'll help you release the emotions that are associated with it, so you can do life differently. You can walk beyond it. So journaling is good for a lot of things. So you're absolutely right.
In addition, you discuss about involving people in your goals. Krista, is that a good thing sometimes? Because like one of my coworkers had mentioned to me, she said you can't tell everyone what your intentions are, what you plan on doing, because everybody is not for you. Everybody's not going to pray for you or be happy for you.
Oh, I love that. I think that's good. And I think the thing that points out, she is wise in saying that, because some people are not safe to tell your goals to. Some people you don't want to tell your goals to. Sometimes you just want to keep them to yourself. But I think you can find in your life people that are safe and people that will be there for you. And so when you find that special friend or partner, whatever, then you can share with them. But only people that are safe, because she's right. Some people aren't going to be for you, and some people aren't going to push you forward and kind of encourage you. So you just want to find those people that are going to be for you. And I think, don't you think it's good, at least I feel this way, you want to surround yourself as much as you can with people that are positive and happy, that are safe.
Yeah. And you're right, though. You do have to be careful who you tell it to. Are there certain cues that you should look for in telling somebody something good? Can you tell if that's not the right person to tell that to?
Oh, absolutely. There's some goals that you really can tell to quite a few people. For instance, I had a client that she just was surrounded by so much negative energy, and she just had some of the people, her mother was a real negative person, and some of the people in her office were really negative. So what she did is she just said to everybody, you know, I've just set a goal, and my goal is that I'm not going to listen to anything negative. I'm just going to put the positive. I'm trying to fill myself with positive energy, and so I need the people around me to know that I'm just going to listen to positive energy. So that's good, because it does. If she tells that to Mr. Grumpy Pants sitting next to her in the next cubicle at the office, then he's going to know that he can't complain to her anymore. Or that's okay for her to tell her mother, because then her mother knows that she just can't listen, that her daughter won't listen to them anymore. So sometimes goals like that you can tell to other people, because it's what you're going to do and how you're going to do it.
Yeah, I do agree. And you know, another thing about telling people your goals, because in waitressing I deal with so many customers, and sometimes they will come back and remind me, oh, how's this job going, or how's your radio show going? And sometimes you will forget that you have told somebody something. So it's good to tell people something, because sometimes accountability really helps you to remember, oh, okay, I need to set this goal now, because you just brought it up. So I need to go ahead and get it started, because you will forget sometimes.
That's absolutely true. I think that's good. And how wonderful, though, that says quite a bit about you as a waitress, because people are coming back to you and people are saying, hey, how's this going? So, that's absolutely right.
And I do love it. And it also lets me know that you were actually listening to what I had to say and just not going. So that really shows me that people actually care. So I really appreciate it, because some people go through, I have had people to come through, oh, let me get your business card, and you don't hear nothing from them. And you're like, okay, you were just blowing air.
Yeah, that's right.
And see, that brings us back to that point, Chris. Like you said, you can't tell everybody your goal, because some people are not out to help you. They will actually make you believe that they're listening, but they're not. They're just blowing air. I have had so many promises with, oh, I can do this, I can get you into journalism, oh, that's your thing, and I get it. And see, one thing about me, and that's my downfall too, because I get so enthused and excited that, okay, somebody's going to be able to help me out, and And, you know, it brings you back to that point. You need to believe in yourself, and also you need to take belief in that God can help you, because people make promises every day and break them.
That's absolutely true, and that makes me feel kind of sad inside that that's happened to you, but it does happen to all of us. It does, and we can't ride on other people's hopes. We have to, like you say, you have to plan for yourself and go forward yourself, and then it's going to end up happening.
Yeah.
But only because you make it. You know, another thing that I do as a writer is we have a critique group, and so I have my critique group that I meet with, and those people will tell me when I take so many pages each week, you know, for them to critique, and they say, "Oh, I don't understand this," or "I don't know what you were talking about here." So then I rewrite it until it's really understandable and really good. But those people are really my cheerleaders. They are there for me, and I'm there for them. And so I think I talk in the book in that last section about accountability groups. And sometimes people have groups like that of people that are just their friends, and maybe it's just a bunch of guys that go to lunch together once in a while. But it's a group of people that you really can rely on that are there for you. I have another friend that she has what she calls the knit wits, and so they just get together once a week and knit, and so they make caps for the homeless people in the wintertime, and you know, they do things like that. They make baby blankets for the hospitals and things, but yet they're there for each other. They really can tell each other their goals and dreams, and then they've got cheerleaders for them. So somebody's going to be there to really listen to you and help you along. So accountability groups can be good.
Yeah, because I'm part of one. It's called Cascade United Toastmasters. And, of course, that's the group that helps you with the public speaking and leadership skills.
Uh-huh.
So that really helps me with my enunciation and pronouncing, because I always had, I have the southern drawl, as most people would say. And you can really hear it. And as far as people have told me, it's nothing wrong with my voice. It's just that I have to, you know, you have to hit that ending. So that group really helps me.
Oh, that's good. That's wonderful. Well, that's the same thing as my critique group. I just go every week, and those people are my cheerleaders. They help me through. So good job.
I haven't been in a while, so I know they're going to get me, but they know that I am radio. But they know I am doing my radio show, so I have a little leeway, but I have to get back to them so I can finish my speeches, because you have to do 10 speeches to get your communication certificate, and then you go on to the advanced level. So I'm kind of right there at the end, and it's like, okay, you haven't finished. What's the holdup? And I'm like, I'm so busy. And now that makes me think, am I procrastinating? Can that be and if so, how can that really affect one's life and procrastination, Christy, because I know you discuss about that too in your book?
Well, you have to prioritize, and so sometimes I get in a situation like you're in, and really there isn't any emotional barrier or anything there. It's just that you've gotten so busy you cannot get everything done. And I think we all can get that way once in a while. So I have to sit down and make myself a list of the things. I start by brainstorming. I just make a list of absolutely everything that I love to do and everything that I've got on my plate. And then I put a number by each one as to what the priority is, and then I can prioritize my list, and I say, okay, I have got to do this. Just like I have to do my meditation and my scripture reading every morning, or I'm not okay. I don't have a good day. So I have to put that first on my list, because if I put it down at the bottom, then I don't get it done. So it's a matter of prioritizing, which it sounds to me like you're doing that, because you've got so many irons in the fire, you can't get it all done if you don't.
And I do. I try to prioritize it, and I'll tell myself, okay, I'm going to a Toastmasters meeting this time, because I know I have put it off probably for a good year, and, of course, I probably might have to pay some more dues. And I tell myself, I got this speech, because the speech is on my computer. I just haven't completed it or practiced it.
Uh-huh.
And I do that every time, and I'm like, no, it's not going to work, because then I'm working so many days at the job. Then I got my radio show that I'm doing every day. So I'm like, no, Toastmasters. You're just not fitting in there, and it just won't come up on the agenda like I want to, Kristen. I'll say it out my mouth, and I'm like, no, because then I'm going to work out. Then I gotta stay up a little bit, because sometimes I do a little research on my guests, because the way my job has been working 9 or 10 days. So I'm like, okay, that's putting me behind, because I can't do as much as I want to with my radio show. So Toastmasters, just, it's in there, Christy. It's somewhere in there. It's just, yeah, I just haven't decided which number is going to be on my list.
Well, and the other thing I think we have to do is, I love to kill two birds with one stone sometimes. And so when you're doing your research for your radio shows, maybe that's something you could give a speech on. I don't know. But
you know,
and then I think you – go ahead.
I was going to say that would probably be good, too. That could be one of my speech. That sure could.
Well, because you've done – just from the questions you're asking me, I know that you've done some research on my book. And so – so can you turn that into a little to a talk? I don't know. The other thing I think you have to say to yourself is Toastmasters is wonderful, but you're getting this every day on your radio show. You're doing public speaking absolutely every day. So maybe that's going to be your goal from now on. I don't know.
Yeah, that could be. And I do appreciate the ones who support me in this. But I will one day get to my speeches, and he even have convinced me to do it on the phone, too. He was like, we could just do it on the phone. I'll listen, and we can go from there. And that's when you know somebody really wants you to complete your goals. When they get to that point, we'll just do it over the phone. You don't even have to worry about it. I would critique you right there, and I'm like, really? But you can't see me on the phone. You don't know what. And I said, well, he's really pushing it now. He wants me to do it on the phone. So,
well, and you know that's what you're doing on your podcasts. I mean, you know, they're on the telephone, and so that's good. That's wonderful. He sounds like he's a real cheerleader for you. He's willing to really go out there for you, and that's great. And you will. You'll get there. But you're already doing a lot of other goals, which is great.
Yeah, I am. I try not to give up, and I try to be careful burning myself with a lot, because I have done that before, too, in school, writing for the newspaper, participating in the radio, doing the newspaper. Then you try to do other clubs and stuff, and you're working. And I'm like, wait a minute, I got to slow down, because I was doing a lot. And I think, Omri, I'm stirring it back up again, but I'm trying to slow down, because my coworker was like, well, you're working so many days, you're doing your show every day, you know, that's going to burn you. But I always feel like this, the Lord won't put no more in you than you can bear. So I'm going to keep going until the good Lord is ready for me. So that's my attitude. I think I will, Kristen. When June comes around, I think I might go down to probably one day a week with my show. But right now, I'll continue on till I'm ready to stop.
Yeah. Well, that's wonderful. And you don't know what other opportunities are going to come, because as you do this radio show, there may be, that may open up another avenue for you. You just don't know.
Yeah.
And I love that you're going to school. And you've got your girls. You know, they're priority also. So you've really got your plate full.
I do. And I wanted to go back to school so I could get my master's degree in filming. But I said I had to put that on hold. Well, for one, I would have to take the GRE to get in there, because it was two schools that I wanted to go to. If I plan on going to, like, Georgia State University, I know I would have to take GRE. If I go to America Intercontinental University, that would be a bachelor's, and I was trying not to do another bachelor's. So I said, I'm going to put it on hold, because when I started thinking about that, then I started thinking about the radio show. So that put it back. So going to school is on a back burner for me right now.
I can hear that. And, you know, I just have to tell you about me. I went back to school to get my master's degree, but I didn't do it until after my kids were, you know, getting raised a little bit. And when I looked at that study guide, I hadn't added or subtracted since for the last, I don't know, 15 years or 20 years or whatever. So that was so intimidating for me. And I took it twice. because I didn't do very good the first time. I took a study class, and then I took it once, and then I took it again because I just hadn't done those kind of things for so long. So give yourself a break on that. No, no means that you can do it again. I had to do it again.
And I feel like I'm in school every day because with the little ones, they bring homework every day, and they'll bring it on English, and you're like, wow, see, now you're making me remember this stuff because I have to help you on adverb, and I have to help you with sentences. And I know that I'm tired of schoolwork. I'm like, that's why I finished up so I didn't have to go back to school. I did a 17-page paper to graduate, and I got to do this all over again. I'm doing projects left and right, and they're making the curriculum a little. They're making it more heavier, the load work for them, because when I was in school, it wasn't that heavy. I don't think I started projects to about fourth or fifth grade. I don't think I did them early as second grade like them. They're making them do them in second grade, and they're not actually doing it. I am.
Well, I agree with that, and you're a good conscientious parent, and the kids are learning. I'm sure they're learning, but you're right. You have to be involved in that, and the education curriculum has really turned around. I think children are having to do more work, and they're learning earlier. So it's becoming more sophisticated all the time. I agree with that.
It is. Now, Christy, listening to one of your interviews where you mentioned men don't say, I felt like that too, where men don't say, because I lost my father when I was 7. So my mother was the figure in my life, and then she never knew her father. So I could relate to that when you said that you felt like men don't say, but you had to grow up out of that.
Yeah, that was one of the things that I had to spend a lot of time journaling. So for your listeners, in case they don't know, my father was killed in a car accident when I was 6, pretty close to what happened to you. And my grandfather, my mother's father, he died of diphtheria so when she was little. So we had no men in our family. We were just women. And I had to journal and really let go of that emotionality that I had inside, because I was really clingy in relationships. I wasn't doing relationships like I needed to. I wasn't strong as I needed to be. And so that's one of the incidents that I had to go through to change those mistaken childhood beliefs that I had. So, yeah, so it sounds like yours was fairly similar to mine.
Mm-hmm. And you felt like that you lost somebody every time they turn around, they're gone. Losing my grandfather, even friends that I had, one of my guy friends, I lost him last year. He died from drowning in Panama City.
Mm.
So that took a toll on me. I'm like, it always is a guy. You get close, you lose them. So I related so much to that.
Yeah. Yeah, that's why I think this book is so valuable, or at least it has been to me, because it's not only about my clients, but it's about myself. And so I think we can't ever say, well, it's those people out there that are having problems, not me. That's not right. It's me too. I mean, all of us have our problems, and we all have to work to try to get through them. So, yeah, it's that abandonment that is so hard for us to get through, and that's where I think you have to go back and as you read the chapters, the thing that I've done at the end of every chapter is a specific to-do list of things to do at the end of the chapter to work through those issues. And they're not set in cement, because everybody can choose their own to-do list, but there's an example of to-do list at the end of every chapter that you can work on.
You know, I'm mostly the people who I've been interviewing on my show, and they're authors as well, they always have that to-do list, and I really like those kind of books. I do, because it makes me think about when you're in class, at the end of each chapter, it goes over the review. Okay, this was discussed in this chapter, this is what you need to do. So I love that. So just in case if you had a tendency to forget, you could say, oh, okay, yeah, that's the chapter discussed that. Okay, so this is what I need to do. So I really enjoy that, to do the to-do list in the book. Yes.
Yeah, and I think then that changes the book. We don't read those the same as we'll read a novel or something like that, because this isn't a book that you just read straight through. It's a book that you get and you use it as a workbook. And I love authors that do that. And then you know what? You can work through it once and then you can set it aside. And then, like, if I find myself having that abandonment issue come back up, then I can go back and journal and work through that section again if I need to.
Yeah, I do agree with that. Now, I do like the part where in the book it says we attract what we think about, and I discuss that mostly on my show, almost all the time. We do attract what we do think about, and that could be a hinder. That could be a hinder to us as well. You put negative thoughts in your mind, you get negative feedback.
Yeah, I had a client, and this is one of the stories in the book, and this also is one of the stories on the website that you can go and print. There's some articles on the website that you can go and print off if you want. And anyway, this lady she just had such negative thinking. She just couldn't put the positive in her head, and so of course she was depressed, and she got into a drug habit, and so she changed. She moved to another city. She got a job transfer and moved to another city so that she could get some new friends, because she didn't want to be with her drug friends anymore. And a geographic fix doesn't usually work. And so she changed places. And, you know, it just turned out to be the same. She just got back into the drugs where she was, until finally her minister asked her to volunteer at the local women's prison. And so she went to the prison and to help these women, and she could identify with those women because they thought the same way that she did. They had that negative thinking, and so here was a place that she really could identify with the people that she was with. And so they had a little self-help thing, a positive thinking little workshop and a workbook that the prisoners had to work through. And so she thought, well, I'll do that too. And so that was the first time in her life that she really could see that her thinking had determined her feelings and her actions, and they really had colored her whole life the way she thought. And so she was then able to turn around and walk beyond it so that her thinking could change and be positive. And so I asked her, because we'd been friends for a long time, and I asked her, what was the difference? And she said that she was just ready to receive it, because she could see these women in the prison beginning to change. And so she thought, well, then maybe I can change. And she'd gone her whole life and hadn't known that she could change. And so then there was the motivation finally for her to change. And she did. She pulled her life around and got some positive in her life and began to go in a positive direction. But it takes that belief in ourself and to change our thoughts so that our feelings will change and then our actions will change. And so that's a dramatic one. I mean, most of us don't have to go to a prison to find that out. But that was the place. That was the place that she found. She found somebody that was like her that she could change. So you're absolutely right. Our thinking does determine our feelings and then our actions and how we're going to live our lives.
Yeah, you don't want to have to go to prison or to say, oh, okay, now I found the way, I found the light.
Yeah.
But it's too late now, you're already locked up.
That's right. And the thing the other thing that you have mentioned that I 100% agree in is I feel like we all need a higher power. And, of course, I'm a Christian, but everybody can be whatever they want to be. I mean, I have wonderful friends that are Buddhists and Jews and a lady a good friend that's Islamic. And so I don't think it matters what our higher power is, but we need to rely on that higher power, because that is where we get a lot of wisdom and a lot of internal strength that comes from that. So we need our higher power. I just really am a firm believer in that.
Mm-hmm. I do. And you can't make it through without having that. I don't know how people expect to do anything, because he is the creator of all things. No matter if you want to call them Allah or whoever you want to call them, it's just mm-hmm. one.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Christy, getting to the point about crippled by fear, some people get to the point I can't do anything or even make decisions because they're so afraid of, don't even know what. What should they do about that? Is there anything they can do?
Yes, and I've got a couple of articles that you can copy off the website if people are really debilitated by fear. So there's a couple of articles you can copy off. The book has got, of course, more, but there's a couple of articles you can just print for free off of the website. And so let me just give you this one example, because this was such a sweet, dear lady. She was agoraphobic, which means that she couldn't go into small places at all. So she could never travel because she couldn't go into an elevator, and she couldn't go into small bathrooms, and she couldn't walk down hotel hallways. And so it crippled her, and she couldn't do anything. So she worked her life out the best she could, but she got a little older towards retirement age, and she had a friend that wanted her to travel with her. She wanted to go traveling, and she couldn't do it. She just couldn't get in an airplane. There were so many things she couldn't do. So we started out just little by little, and there was an elevator in the office building. And so she and I would stand outside the elevator, and the door would be open, and there weren't too many people in this elevator or in this building, so it was okay. So she was determined to conquer this fear, so she would do it just a small step at a time. So she'd walk into the elevator, and then she'd walk out.
Mm-hmm.
And then as we started this, first of all, we worked out some soothing techniques. So she had her deep breathing, and she had a little rock that was a smooth rock that she rubbed in her pocket that helped her calm herself down. And then she had her positive thinking. So she had her steps to help calm her anxiety. So then we started a little step at a time. So she'd walk into the elevator, and then she'd walk out. And we did that one day until she could comfortably walk in the elevator and walk out. Well, then the next step was we'd walk in the elevator and shut the door. And then we'd immediately open the door, and she'd walk out. And then she'd spend a few minutes calming herself down. Pretty soon she got so we could walk in the elevator, shut the door, and ride to the next floor and hurry and get out. And so she just practiced those little steps, just one step at a time, every day or a couple of times a week, whatever works, until she could ride the elevator up and down. And that was she was so excited. It was such a freeing experience for her to do that. Well, then she got so she could walk into small bathrooms and walk down hallways. And so then she tried, her friend said to her, okay, let's go on an airplane. Let's go on an airplane trip. So they went from Vegas to Phoenix, because, of course, that's a short flight. That's only, I don't know, but it's not very long, 45 minutes. It's a short one. So she had her soothing techniques with her, and she got so she could get on the airplane and fly there, and then she got on the plane and flew back. And so she was so excited, because then she and her friend could travel. And that was her whole goal in life. And she just had walked beyond it. But it was sheer terror for her when she began, and she was just determined she was going to do it. And so she got her soothing techniques and got so that she could walk beyond it. So what a lady. I mean, she was awesome.
Oh, yeah. And just to try to get over your fear of that, that was determination.
That was determination. And, you know, living in Vegas is kind of hard, because you go down to Vegas. I mean, when people come to visit you, of course you go down on the strip, and then you want to go into the hotels to have dinner and those kind of things. Well, those places have got all the little elevators, and they're, you know, they've got, it's just a lot of little places there. And so it was really freeing for her to be there, because then she really could take advantage of the opportunities that city has to offer, because it has a lot of wonderful opportunities. And so it was not only good for her to travel and do vacations, but good for her to be at home too.
Krista, do you think that it is good to have fear of something?
Well, I think we all need to have our common sense fear. I mean, we need to help kids know that they're going to get burned if they touch the stove, and they have to know that they have to wait at the corner before we cross the street. You got to wait at the stoplight for the adult before you cross the street. So yeah, I think we need to have some fear. It keeps us so that we're safe.
Yeah. And that's just like for me. I need to start probably having a better plan as well, because sometimes I guess it is fear of not having your guest. Because yesterday I didn't have a guest, and I didn't know why. I was like, what did I do wrong? You know, I sent out emails and come to find out. Well, he did email me back. I emailed him at 1:00. He emailed me back at 8:00 at night, and he said that he had a tragic incident came up with his daughter in Paris. So I was like, okay. So I said, I'm going to have to just probably try to come up with a plan just in case if the speaker don't turn up just for any reason.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that could be I hear that. I totally hear that. You could, and I think there's probably several things that you could do about that. I mean, if you had, are there some things that I'm sure your listeners would love to talk to you about? And, you know, you've got some good common sense. And I love, you could talk about, I mean, your education that you've gotten and how you raise your kids and how you do your relationship. You could talk about some of those things, but you could also have maybe a couple of guests waiting in the wings that could go on at a moment's notice if you have somebody that's not going to show.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what I'm saying.
And see, if it wasn't for my work schedule, Kristen, see, I could have done it that way. Now, what I did do, since it was a blissful Sunday, I took the time to just play nice gospel music on there.
Oh, wonderful. So, that's a great idea.
So just in case if you... Well, you know, sometimes people like to sneak and get on their phones. I have one guy said he was trying to do that, but he was at work. So you never know who might be on their phones or anywhere. And you might not even be in your car, because you could listen to the show on your phone. So I said, well, I'll play some gospel music. People on a Sunday, I thought that would be nice. I was trying to come up with a plan.
Yeah, I think that's a wonderful idea, and I think you could do that most any time. So I like, you know... And this is where sometimes when something, not a tragedy, but something negative happens, and it kind of helps us to say, oh, what am I going to do next time? And so then you can get yourself a master plan of some things that you can do, and I love how you handled it. I think that's excellent.
Mm-hmm. And that would be a good thing, too. I can start thinking in advance, okay, what could be something different I can do besides playing music? So I do need to incorporate that into my thinking pattern.
Yeah, but I do like the music. I think that's wonderful. You could call your Toastmaster guy up and tell him he's got to listen because you got your speech ready and it's going to come on the day when nobody shows up.
That would be awesome. But like this is just I'm part of Toastmasters. It's just for free. Cause see what the thing I'm thinking about doing now, Kristy, is taking my show out of the box. A lot of people do their blog talk radio show and that's it. But see, I'm thinking of getting with different people, go to different events like most radio shows do and start being sponsored that way as well. Yeah, I want my show to be totally different. I don't want to just be, okay, I'm interviewing somebody. I want to go to different events. Okay, I'm here at this event today and we're downtown Atlanta, so something like that. Make them feel like they're right there with me. So I'm thinking of doing different things. So that's all. All that would be coming
I
up.
I love very that. Soon. Oh, that's wonderful. Well, I'm going to stay tuned for that because that is awesome. I love that. And I totally admire you for thinking outside the box. I think that's so great. I think we have to just continue to do that. And that's what's going to make you successful is that you do think outside the box. So.
Chrissy, can you share, like, the importance of decision-making?
Oh, yeah, and I love what you have just done. You see, you had a decision that you had to make yesterday that was, you had, and you had, was a snap decision that you had to make. So I think sometimes we cripple ourselves. There's some stories in the book about how we cripple ourselves with not being able to make decisions. And it's sometimes kids don't learn the skill. Like I had one girl that she didn't know how to make decisions because her mother had always made her decisions, and then her husband always made her decisions, and she didn't even decide where to go to lunch with her friends.
It
was a step-by-step process that she had to learn that most of us learn just naturally when we're kids, she just hadn't learned that. So I think we have to study the situation out and decide what, so we know all of the information and what our options are. Then I think we have to brainstorm and list all the options of what we can do. And then I think we have to prioritize those options of this one's a good idea and this one's a good idea and this one is a bad idea. So take that off the list. But then we've got a priority of the things that are going to work best for us. And then we have to choose one. And some people are crippled because they say, oh, what if it isn't the right decision, or what if it's the wrong decision? Well, you know, there isn't really a right decision or a wrong decision. If I line 50 people up and give them a situation, they're all going to make a decision a little bit differently. And you know what? That's awesome. It's okay that we're all different. We don't all have to be alike, and there isn't a right or a wrong a lot of the time. There's different ways of doing it. So if we get out of the black and white thinking, then that helps us to be able to make those decisions. So we learn the information, brainstorm our lists, prioritize, and then give ourselves permission to choose the thing that will work best for us.
Yeah, I do. I agree with that as well. You know, one of the parts of the book reminded me of myself, and that was the spouting off part, because I have the tendency to do that at home. Sometimes I get a little, it aches me when something is not done. I'm like, okay, I worked all day. Why is this not done? And I don't even take the time to even think about my emotions. So I thought that fit me perfect. I'm like, wow, I do that all the time, and I need to stop that.
Yeah, sometimes it's hard to step back and think a little bit. But you know what? You have that capability, because look how you've done that with the people in your restaurant, with the guests in your restaurant. If somebody's got a little attitude, you're able to step back and say, okay, that's your attitude, that's not mine. So, see, you can separate that. You've already got that ability. You just have to do it a little bit at home.
Yeah, and I do need to practice. Well, I did have a confrontation with a customer on the job, because it was very, very late. It was all motocross, and the gentleman, he went off on me, and I went back off on him, and I was like, why are we doing this? It's so late in the morning, and I'm supposed to be getting off around 1. I didn't nearly get off till about 3 o'clock. And mind you, I got there at 2 o'clock p.m., so I did 13 hours. Only had a little bit of time, no break. So I was hungry, and I was upset, and I figured that he was. So him being upset, me being upset, that did not help the problem whatsoever. And I wish I could have at that moment just step back, because we both was vulnerable without us knowing it.
And I like what you've just said, because if I'm too tired and if I'm too hungry, then those kind of things are going to happen to me. And so I have had to learn to say, I am not having this conversation right now, because when I'm too tired and too hungry, I can't do it. If my husband brings up something just before we go to bed, I just have to say to him, I can't have this conversation right now. I'm not going to be rational about it. Let's talk about it in the morning.
he's tickled right now, because he knows that is so true. I do him the same way. I'm like, look, I just got off work. We'll do this later.
That's right. That's how I work. That's how you work. It's good.
But Christy, before we actually get off the line, is there anything else that you would like the listeners to know?
I just think, first of all, I would like to say thank you so much for having me on the show, Technisha. I just love talking with you. I just have really enjoyed it. It has been just awfully fun for me. I have really liked it. And then they're welcome to go to the website, and there are free articles that they can they can pick up. And so get the free articles off the website. And if you want to order the book, you can also order the book there or on Amazon. But it's a good reference book and a good workbook for people if they're interested.
It is. And don't forget the other book, the Love, Christian, what was it again? Love, Hugs, and I'm missing a word.
Love, Hugs, and Hope, yeah.
Don't forget about that one either. If you're having trouble with your child or children going through fear at the moment and don't know how to explain it to them, that would be a great hopeful book to share. Everybody needs to grab that one. So, Christy, once again, I do thank you for being a guest on this show and taking your time out with us.
Oh, Technisha, thank you for having me. I've had a wonderful time. I enjoy visiting with you.
Thank you, Christy. And as I always say, you and your family have a blessed one.
Same for you. Thanks so much.
You're welcome. Well, listeners, I appreciate you for tuning in today. Stay tuned because we will be talking about environment and detoxification and weight loss with Janet Lancaster tomorrow at 12 o'clock. So please stay tuned in. And I do apologize about not having my guest yesterday. Everyone, please keep Frank Romano and his daughter and his other family members in your prayer. He had a little tragic in Paris yesterday. So our heart and love go out to him. So thank you for tuning in again with me.
Thank you for tuning in to The Bright Side with Tanisha.
Come back daily from 12 p.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern.
God bless.